following message by Pastor Byron Brown was recorded at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. First Baptist exists to glorify God by declaring the life-changing message of Jesus and by discipling all people so that everyone can delight in God's supremacy over all things. It is our desire to adequately proclaim God's word so that believers will grow in Christ and unbelievers will be convicted for their need for Christ. We pray that you will be challenged and encouraged as you listen to this message from God's word.
Take your Bibles and turn me to the book of Romans, chapter 15. The book of Romans, chapter 15, whether you have the paper copy or whether this is an electronic version, we're thankful that you are here with us to have the Word and to study the Word with us today. As I mentioned to you, I felt led that we would switch our direction today and talk about what it means to build one another up in the faith. All of us in this room who are believers have probably at some point felt strong and maybe at some point felt weak in the faith. Maybe some days you felt like, why in the world would God even use someone like me? Anybody ever felt that way? Yeah. And you felt like, man, Lord, I don't feel like I'm getting anything right. I feel like I'm not getting step A right. And in those days, they were reminded that it's not about our perfection, but it's about Christ's perfection that's in us to enable us. But has anybody in this room ever had another brother or sister help you in your walk with Jesus? All of us at probably some point may have had a stronger person, maybe not necessarily because of a sin issue, but maybe just because we needed some encouragement. Maybe someone saw that in us, that we needed some building up. Or maybe you, in like manner, saw someone that needed to be built up, and God placed it upon your heart to help someone else. Folks, that's what I want you to understand, what we are to be about as a body of believers, even as these parents stood before us. And those of you who have gone through parenting, maybe even through grandparenting, you know maybe the struggles that they're going to face and the difficulties and the roads and the hurdles. And so you don't stand back and just say, let's just see what they do with it. No, your job as the body of Christ is to help each other make certain that we're growing forward in the faith of Jesus Christ. In Romans 15, Paul is going to show us that as we serve together, as we walk together in Christ, is that there are times when some of us may be stronger in the faith than others. There may be times when we who once were strong might be weak in a moment and need somebody else to help us. And so as we walk through this today, I want us just to be very open to hear what God has to say to us and say, Lord, how can you use my life in this body to help each other? Listen, as we walk in Christ with each other, when we spend time with one another, the natural result should be that we're sharpening each other. That should be our job, is that when we're spending time together, we should be able to, there should be a stark difference. If you're spending time with a lost person versus spending time with a saved person, you should feel completely different when you walk away from that conversation. You should feel completely different if you spent a meal together, because whether it's you've walked through Scripture or whether you just had fellowship with one another, you know that you've been encouraged in your walk with Christ because of being with Him. Am I making sense to anybody? And so I want you to understand something. If you're here this morning, you're looking for a church family, or you feel like that you're isolated and you're by yourself, I want you to understand this is what church is about. Church is not about just coming and going, but it's coming, building relationships so that we can find people to encourage us, build us up so that when we leave this place, we're encouraged, because out there is the battlefield. This shouldn't be the battlefield. You understand that? This should be the place where we can come and have our wounds taken care of, have our wounds be healed. And so that we know that we can come in and we can share with our Bible study groups or our small groups and say, man, this was a hard week at work, or a hard week in my family. Please pray for me. Or I've been serving my family and I'm struggling. Anybody sound familiar? And so this is what we want to understand from Romans chapter 15. And even in the parenting world we talked about today, you know, if your parents, some weeks are great. Some weeks are hard.
Amen.
I'm like, everybody said amen when it's great, and it's hard, nobody said anything. The reality, though, is that we understand is that we need to be careful that if your weeks are going great, that we don't slip into a judgmental mode when somebody else is not having a good week. And when someone else might be having a hard time. It's easy for us to do that. Let's just admit it. We, by nature, are critical people. By nature, when we're good and someone else is struggling, it's easy for us to puff ourselves up and not forget that we once were there or could be there. Romans chapter 15 is where we are. And I want you to see how that this word teaches us is that we can build each other up, and especially even these parents that we've talked about, and helping them and encouraging them in the faith of Jesus Christ. Romans 15, we're going to read verse 1 through 7, and you'll see the command that he gives us here in verse 1 and verse 2 is in this context of building each other up in the faith. Let's read the word together, and then we're going to go back and we're going to study this verse by verse. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, and to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. We're going to see today that Paul gives us a command of what we're supposed to do, that we're to be building each other up. And then we're going to see two examples that he gives us in this passage of Scripture. And then there's a prayer, and there's a result of what happens when we do this. And then ultimately, he's going to give us this ultimate model, which is in Jesus Christ. So let's start with the first one. Let's talk about the one command that he gives us, and that is to build up other believers. You saw it there in the passage of Scripture that he's telling us in verse 1. And there in verse 2, the command specifically is there in verse 2, to build him up. There's actually multiple things that he tells us in verse 1 and verse 2 that kind of builds up to this command. What are those? Look at it with me again. He says that we are to bear, and then we're not to please who? Ourselves. And then it says to build him up. So in order to build someone up, we have to make certain that we're not thinking of who? Aren't we a me-centered society? We are very me-centered society. It's what I like, what I want, when I get it, you know, all those things. That's the way our media drives it. You look, just watch 5 minutes of commercials and you'll see this. This is what you deserve. I mean, it's just there and there. And so what happens is sometimes that can play over dangerously into our Christian thinking. And Paul is reminding us, it's not just about you and me. It is about them and us when we get together. So understand, to get to that point where he says to build him up, we have to deal with a selfishness, a self-centeredness. And don't we have to fight that at times, church? We have to work against that and think about that, because we want our comfort. But notice what's the context that's here. In chapter 14, Paul has dealt with an issue where there were some brothers in Christ there at Rome who were struggling with an issue that they were weak in. Look at chapter 14, look at verse 1. Notice what he says here. As for the one who is weak in what? Faith. Welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. So Paul makes it very clear that there are people who will be strong in the faith, and there will be people who are weak in the faith. Well, what was the issue that was there? The issue in chapter 14, we're not going to read them, just kind of summarize for you. The issue was that some was struggling with meat that had been sacrificed. And he was saying for some persons, he said that was being a stumbling block for some people. And he was making it clear, he says, look, they come from the mentality that they're not supposed to have that particular type of meat. He says, for you, it's okay. He says, but listen, don't quarrel about this issue. Just do what it takes to please each other up. And that's what he gets to chapter 15, verse 1, when he says there, bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. What was the failing of the weak? That they thought they couldn't have it, when indeed, what had God already made very clear to Paul and to Peter even? Everything was clean to eat, and it was okay. Okay, and there was this issue that was at hand. Some were still struggling over that. And so Paul is saying, look, don't make a huge issue over this. Build them up. Help them through this issue. Let me give you kind of a practical example of what this would be like. For example, if there was a Muslim friend of yours who was converted to Christianity, they have the mindset that you can't eat pork. So do you think it would be wise on the first week that he's saved that you ask him to come over for a pulled pork sandwich celebration? Okay, do you understand what we're talking about now? This is what Paul is talking about. He said, because for you, you're strong in the faith in that. For them, it's weak in the faith for that. It's not that they are to be diminished or to be looked down upon, but he's saying, look, your job then in that moment would be to go the extra mile. Give you practice. Have chili. You see what I'm saying? You go on something extra mile until you help them in the scriptures to be able to understand what's accessible and understand what God has made available and what God has made okay to do. So this is what Paul is talking about. He's particularly talking about food, but there's lots of other issues, could it not be, in regards to where maybe someone is struggling in the faith and where maybe you're strong in the faith in that way. And Paul's saying, look, in that moment, if you were thinking of yourselves, you could say, I always eat pork on this day and I don't care what they say or what they think. We're having pulled pork sandwiches. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to offend that brother and probably going to turn that brother away. And you're going to make him struggle because then he's going to be confused in his understanding of what is acceptable and what is right. Because understand something, at the heart of all that is that Christ fixed it all. And so this is where what Paul is saying to us, our job then is to make certain we're not just thinking about ourselves. You may be thinking, man, Pastor really loves pulled pork sandwiches. I'm not. Okay, just giving an example to make this very practical that you understand what we're talking about here. Now look back at Romans chapter 15. I want you to understand the text that is here and what it means here. The word to bear there in verse 1, look at it again. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with. This literally there in the Greek means to carry or to take up. So that we understand if you see someone who's struggling, my job then is not just to pass by that issue. My job then is to come alongside that brother and to help that brother. So if my issue was whatever it was, and John saw that issue, his job is not just to pray for me. It is his responsibility to come to me to help me because he sees that I need that. Now, here's the beautiful thing about the body of Christ. If you've struggled with it at some point, God will put someone in your path who's gone through the very same thing that you can help them with. And he puts us there so that we can be able to bear with them and help them build it up. Listen, it's not enough, church. Listen, it's not enough just to say, I'll pray for you. I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes that's a cop-out for Christians. I'll just pray for you. Because it's too much work for us to have to come alongside of that person and to bear up that person's load. Let me just give you an image. When I was in college, my last year of college, I went with some buddies of mine. We went out to the Grand Canyon to hike the Grand Canyon. Beautiful, wonderful experience. And we had about six of us that we were hiking down. And there was this one guy that he was pretty thin, pretty skinny. And on the way back up, he blew out his knee. That's a long hike up the Grand Canyon to get back to the top. Well, he couldn't carry his backpack. So one of us had to bear the burden to come alongside of him so that our friend and our brother in Christ could make it to the top. We literally couldn't just say, hey man, I'm going to pray for you. I'll see you at the top. He'd still be at the bottom of the canyon, right? So, unfortunately, some of my other friends actually hiked on. And so I stayed behind with him, threw his pack on top of mine. So two backpacks. And you understand, when you're trekking something like that and you're packing for a couple of days, and to pack for the snow as well, our packs are pretty heavy. By the time we got to the top, I was pretty whooped. But my brother in Christ made it up. Now, the point of that is, that's what it's supposed to be as a Christian. That's what we're supposed to do in our walk with Christ. And that when we see someone who's struggling, it might take some energy on your part. it might mean you have to put your wishes aside. Why? Because it's not a have to, it's because I want my brother and sister in Christ to walk in victory in Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of it. And so when Paul is saying this, that we ought to. Now look at this word. I want you to see what he's saying here in verse 1. We who are strong have and what? Say it louder. Have what? Understand that Paul didn't say that we have a consideration. We have an obligation. Some of your translations in the Greek there is ought to, meaning it's a have to. It's something he's called us to do, that we understand we are in this what? Together. And that's what Paul is wanting us to get it, to make certain that we are doing this. And listen, I want you to understand what he says here in verse 2. Let each of us please his neighbor for who's good? Okay, let me clarify what Paul is not saying. Paul is not saying that we should be a people pleaser. Being a people pleaser is just doing something to pacify the person and just do whatever that they want. That's not what Paul is saying. It is in this specific situation was to please them with their weakness that we're going above and beyond. That's what he's referring to. He's not just saying that I'm just going to please this person, meaning if a person is actually struggling with a sin issue, we don't just please that person and be a people pleaser and just tolerate the issue. That's not building up the person. Do you understand what we're saying? Yes. So to be a person that he's saying to please the other person is when it's an issue that it's just a weak issue they're having trouble with. We want to come alongside of them, but it doesn't mean we're just tolerating sinful behaviors and erroneous behavior in the body of Christ because we just want to please that person. If we ignore it, guess who's responsible as well? We are. Because Christ has called us to be together. Let me give you a couple of passages to be able to understand some things that Paul is talking about here. Turn to Philippians. You're there in Romans, then go to the right of your Bible. I want you to Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. I want you to see what Paul is even saying this to us there in regards to helping one another in Christ. And then we're going to go back to Romans, okay? Philippians 2. Verse 3, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of who? Others. Christ has called us to be servants. And we're going to see this even next week. We get back into the Gospel of Mark that God has called us to serve each other. Now go back to Romans chapter 14. Why is it that we want to make certain that we're serving one another, making certain that we're thinking of other people, that basically says in Romans 15, to not please ourselves, but to please them for their good, to build him up. Listen, that's what we need as a key there. Tolerating an issue doesn't build them up, does it? If we see that it's self-destructing to them and I'm, quote, pleasing them, I'm not building up my brother or sister in Christ. Has anybody ever come and spoke truth to you that was hurtful, but it was biblical correction, but it was actually building you up? Sometimes speaking things that need to be spoken sometimes are hard, and we think, man, I'm just going to tear that person down, but really it's not tearing them down. It's actually helping them take a step up in Christ. Now, look at Romans 14. I want you to see in this whole issue, Paul is making certain that, putting this in the context of how we're building each other up. Look at verse 19. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Mutual upbuilding. You know what that means? It means not only that person, but also you as well, that you're building up you as well. And then verse 20. Do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. What's the work of God? That person's faith growing in Christ. He's saying, look, don't let this one issue tear everything apart what God is doing. Because notice what he says. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. So Paul is saying, look, go above and beyond for what it takes to build each other up in Christ. So I just want to be honest with you this morning and give you some encouragement. Church, listen, you've heard me say this. I want to say this to you again. This is not a place that you need to think that when you walk in these doors that you've got to have everything fixed and everything perfect. That is not what this place should be. This should be a place that you know I get to go to church because they're going to love me and they're going to help me. And I can be honest and I can bare my heart and I can tell my small group and they're going to love me and help me walk in Jesus Christ. We have to understand that we don't have to come in here with a mask. That we can come in here and know that people are going to love us and support us and build each other up. That's what I long for this church to get and be, that we can realize that I can come in here and I can be me and they will love me and they're going to help me. But also with that understanding is that you can't just also come in here and just think you can just keep on cruising in sin. This is a place where we can come and be loved and come and be built up. Well, let me give you the two examples that Paul gives us. We could really camp at that one particular application all day long. But in verse 3, he actually gives us two examples of how we build each other up. One is Jesus, and one is the Bible. And what do we mean by that? Well, look at the text there in verse 3, because he's given us the command there in verse 2, build him up. And then he says, for Christ. Notice, what's the word that connects us with verse 3 to verse 2? What's the word there, church? For. That's that one of those conjunctions. Y'all know I love those conjunctions in the Bible. They give us the reasoning why. Because he says in verse 1 and 2, build each other up. And then he says, for, which is the reason why, if for example, he says, for Christ did not please who? Himself. As it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. So guess which reproaches he took? World's reproaches upon him. And so he was saying, look, he didn't count himself something that he was going to place his own concerns. If anyone wanted to be able to dodge the burden, it would be Jesus. And Paul is saying to us, look, our best example is of Jesus Christ. Listen to John chapter 6, verse 38. Jesus says, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of the one who sent me. He was focused upon doing what he's called to do, and that was to look and say, okay, here are the people that they have a true burden. What was our burden? Our burden was sin. Our burden was wrath. Our destiny was hell. Our destiny was going to be eternity, and he put that burden upon himself. Listen, in the garden, he says, not my will, but your will be done. If it's your will for the cup to pass from me, no, but your will be done. Who was he thinking of? Himself? Then who was he thinking of? Us. Paul is saying this church is the model and the example for how we are to serve each other in this local body of believers. That Christ is the ultimate example. If we struggle sometimes with selfishness and how we're to serve other people, then Paul says, look to none other than to who? To Jesus, for how that he laid his life down to be an example for us, to be able to serve one another. And the whole purpose of him doing that was to do what? To build us up so that we can know Christ, know God, and be heavenward. In our relationships with each other, our sharpening should point us towards Jesus. Our relationship should point us towards heaven and make us more like the Son, Jesus Christ. Well, what's the second example? And we could really camp there as well, could we not, about Jesus and all the examples that he gave for us and what he did for us. That Philippians 2 passage that we just read just a moment ago, if you go just a little bit further down, in verse 5 through verse 8, it talks about Christ who did not... Well, let's just go there. Let's just go there. Let's just go there. Just be better look at it with our eyes. Philippians 2... So 3 and 4, he says, we're not to think of ourselves, but to others. And what was the example? It was Jesus. And this is what I think Paul is pointing to also in Romans chapter 15 as well. Verse 5, have this mind. What's the mind? Mind of Christ. And the example he's given us in verse 4 was to think of other people. And then verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So Christ, Paul is saying, He didn't think of himself, but he humbled himself and he thought of us. And that's the example that he's pointing us to be like, is to make certain that we are laying down our lives for you and for you and for each other. But let me tell you this. Sometimes not everyone will know your struggles unless you say something. Some people can be sensitive and discern what a brother or sister may be going through, but sometimes you're going to have to open your mouth and trust a brother and sister in Christ to help you when you're weak. So use discernment. But I want you to understand something. There's no reason for a brother and sister in Christ in this church to be struggling by themselves. Not any reason. Do you love each other? Do you want to see each other grow in Christ? Then we need to understand that when we're praying, we pray for our church to grow, not just in number, but in Christ-likeness. And so that we may be open and sensitive. Listen, when you come on Sunday mornings, let me just kind of teach you one thing. Here's a prayer. Lord, speak to my heart today. But Lord, open my eyes. If there's anyone around me that needs me today, give me sensitivity to minister to them. So when you're walking down and you're talking to people in your classroom, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. Get past the surface. And let's talk and build each other up. Well, Paul gives us a second example. The second example is the Bible. Look back with me there in verse 4. We see it there in verse 3 of Romans chapter 15. For Christ did not please himself. But notice the word there in verse 4. What is it again? What is it, church? For. Love those conjunctions, church. Because they tell us and make the connection. He's told us in verse 2, build each other up. He said, for Christ. And then verse 4, he says, for what? For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the what? Scriptures, we might have what? Hope. When we're weak, sometimes we seem hopeless. And Paul is saying to us, all we have to do is not just look to Jesus, we have to look where? The Word for hope. Did anybody struggle in their faith in the Old Testament? How about the entire nation of Israel? This is why he says, look to the Old Testament as an example of building each other up. Was God gracious to them? Did God also speak truth to them? It's why you have multiple prophets in the Old Testament, because God would send them to point out truth to them. Why? So they could have their eyes turned back to who? To God again. This is why Paul doesn't give us the examples. He just says the scriptures. Because why? Because the examples are from Genesis up to this point. You with me? So we understand that we're not the only ones who might struggle. Listen, let me encourage you. Even some of the prophets of God struggled in their faith. What about the story of Jonah, for example? Does anybody remember the story of Jonah? Hello? Okay, Jonah didn't like what God was doing. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. But God wanted to use him. Jonah struggled in his faith. What about Habakkuk? The whole book of Habakkuk is about a prophet asking questions of God. God, what are you doing? God, are you not going to do something? And God spoke to him. And then finally, Habakkuk's faith, when you get to the resolve of Habakkuk chapter 3, and he says, even if you take everything from me, I will put my faith in you. This is what the scriptures are for, church. Yeah. So this is why Paul is saying to us, listen, you in this church, me and you, all of us, yeah, we look to Jesus, but look, don't abandon the Old Testament solid truths of God's Word, because they point us Godward. If you're struggling to understand if God's going to be faithful, look at His faithfulness in the Old Testament. Look at His faithfulness to the people of God. Listen, it wasn't always easy for them, was it? They struggled at times, and God took things from them at times to turn their faith back to God. So let me encourage you. These two examples that He gives us, it's Jesus and the Bible. Let me tell you something. If you're just looking at self-help books to build you up, listen, if that's your primary thing, before looking at the Word, you're not going to get the help that you need. You need the Word. Why? There is power here. It is alive and sharper than a two-edged sword and can reach you and touch you and convict you and encourage you and admonish you and build you up and touch you in areas you didn't even think that you knew needed to be touched. So if you're here this morning and you're not connected to a local church somewhere consistently, let me tell you, you need it. You need that building up. Well, let me move on. Each one of these, I could just go with each one of these each time. But let me go to the third thing. Okay? Certainly, there's a command for us to be able to build each other up. Secondly, we have two examples that are here. But thirdly, what's the result of what happens in a church when we're building each other up? Look back to chapter 15 and look now at verse 5. So he said in verse 3 and verse 4, the two examples, that one is Jesus, one of the scriptures, and then in verse 5 and verse 6, may the God of endurance and encouragement. Now, where has he just said that? Back in verse 4, and the evidence of the God of endurance and encouragement is where? In the what? In the Word. So may this God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus. Now, why would it encourage us? Because when we realize that his own people struggled and we are his people, then we would realize that some of us are struggling, some of us are strong, and that we understand that we're all on the same page and just need Christ. And then he says that together you may with, how many voices, church? One voice. Do what? Glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what Paul says? What a beautiful picture this is. Folks, if we want our church to fulfill the mission statement that says First Baptist Church exists to what? To glorify God. He's saying to us that we do this by building each other up. Some of our lives may glorify God more than the others do. But listen, the goal is so that all of our lives, from the oldest to the youngest, to the middle aged, to the child, to the senior adult, to the mature adult, that every person who is a believer, the goal is that we are unified. Why? So that God uses our lives and our church to bring glory to Him. So that when people come here, they will say, man, God is doing something in those people. And God is doing something and He's growing them. And they loved me just where I was. Amen. That's what Paul is saying in this passage of Scripture. What a beautiful picture it is. And listen, and I want to give a testimony here of thanks and praise for what God is doing here in our body. That He is growing our church close and unity. And let's just pray that God keeps that protected and that God keeps us growing closer. So why? Because we can bring Him glory. You know what happens when a church is not unified? It doesn't bring Him glory. When there are factions and there's division and there's argumentation, and that church is not bringing glory. Because you know what happens when there's factions and there's divisions? You know what's being thought of? Self. The complete opposite of what Romans 15 is. Folks, let me just be honest with you. We have over 100 people who come here every week, and as God continues to bless us and grow us and long to see God continue to add to the numbers for His kingdom, don't you? Yeah. And if God so grants that we're 500 or 1,000 or however many He grows us to be, let's just realize there's going to be some things that we're not always going to agree on. There may be some different things that we disagree about. But listen, as Paul says, why argue about non-essential stuff? The purpose is Jesus. And when we get focused on those things, what's happening is that we're not focused on how can I build up my brother or sister in Christ. We're thinking about this would make me happy. That's not what we're here for, church. We're here to proclaim the gospel. We're here to glorify Jesus. And lead people into the kingdom. That's why we're here. And self takes the focus off of all those things. So that's the result. He tells us there that we are to look at that particular thing. We're to be, listen, it's all over here. If you go back to Romans chapter 12, look there with me. When Paul talks about all the different gifts that we have, look back at Romans 12, verse 4. This theme about unity exists even through and from chapter 12. For as one body, we're in Romans 12, 4. For as one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. So guess what? We are different. We are what? We are what? One in Christ. That's a unique work of God to give the different giftings so that we can work together. I can't play the guitar like Andrew. I couldn't even try to do that. Yeah, I can't play the piano. Or we would be singing, Mary had a little lamb. Okay. And I can play some chords, but not like Liz can play. You know, some of you are exceptionally gifted serving in the nursery ministry. When those kids see you, they just love you and they light up. My point is this. We're different, but we're one. And then we need to understand that it's important that we continue to build each other up to have that unity for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, he gives us an ultimate model. Let's look at that very quickly. The ultimate model he gives us there in verse 7. You know, Jesus is on prayer in John 17. When he prayed for the disciples and prayed for all those who believe, you know what he prayed for? Lord, may they be what? One. So that the world will know that they are yours. Unity is essential in a body of Christ, and building each other is important for the world to see Jesus. Listen, if a church is nothing but factions and divisions, guess what we look like? The world. What's our ultimate model? Look at me at verse 7. What's the first word there, church?
Therefore.
Therefore. It's the connection between all that he said. So he said, build each other up. Make certain that you see these examples like Jesus and the scriptures. Make certain that you're building one another up. Make certain the God of encouragement is helping you build each other up. And he says, and finally, therefore, here's your ultimate model. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. How did Jesus accept you? Did he say to you, Byron Brown, go get your act together before you come to me? Romans 5:8 says, but while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't say to you or to me to fix yourself up. Folks, that's the work of God to do that. We come to him in faith, and it's his forgiveness. It's his grace that does the work. That's our memory verse that we did a few months ago. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? The old has... Behold, the new has come. So if we remember that, and Paul is saying to us, if we're to do like Jesus did and to welcome one another, to build each other up, that might mean that we need to realize as folks come in, they may not be where you are in your walk with Jesus. Remember what Jesus said? Before you get the speck out of someone else's eye, what are you supposed to do? Get that beam out of your own. Realize that certainly, you can't wait till you're perfect to be able to encourage each other, can we? No, but we can't have a blatant hypocritical issue in our life before we try to go and correct somebody else in the faith. Paul is telling us that we're to welcome one another. Let me give you the instruction here. This passage, it's here. Look at your Bible again there in verse 7 when it says, welcome one another. This is actually in the commanding voice in the Greek. You know what that means? If we don't do it, it is a sin for us. And it's in the present tense voice, which means you can't just check off your box and say, Pastor, I welcome that person. You take care of the rest. He's saying to us, we are to continue to be intentional to welcome one another. Do it this week and next month and next year. Because guess what? There may be some folks that may be more difficult for you to welcome and to love. Can we be honest here? Only a couple people are honest in the room. There's a realization, though, that we as believers is that he says to us, welcome one another. But here's the root of it. When we realize that that person that might be a little more difficult and the issue that they're struggling with, then we might want to be judgmental toward it. We have to remember that, guess what? God has brought you out of certain issues. God has brought you from difficult things. And so you have to remind yourself, your model is not you. Your model is Jesus. And he's the one that can help us. Well, church, I think that we all can be able to say that every one of us, regardless of where we are, we all need to grow in our faith, don't we? Every one of us can be farther along than where we are. We can have more knowledge about his word. We can have more knowledge about his character. We can have a greater relationship with him. None of us have arrived in our walk. Can we get an agreement there? But we can all do it together better. We can support each other. And not just wait for someone else to do it. You know who that someone is? You and me. If we always wait for the someone to do it, that someone will never come, because that someone is not going to do it. That someone. If God has put the thought on your mind about a certain person, guess who the Lord is prompting?
You.
So even as you sit here this morning and you think about maybe someone that you haven't seen in some length of time, and God's put it on your mind, who's responsible? You. Pick up the phone. Drive your car over. Be intentional, because guess what? If someone isn't here for a period of time, there's a reason. Either there's a sin issue, or there's a sickness issue, or maybe they just got discouraged, or maybe they just need a little encouragement to get back here. And so all of us, I think all of us could probably think of one or two people that may fit that particular category, can we not? You know, I see some folks that are here because someone encouraged, someone prompted, someone pleaded, and they're here. So where do we go with this sermon? Those are very practical things, but let me tell you. Number one, for the mature in the faith, let me give you some applications to end this sermon. For those of you who are mature in the faith, be intentional. Be intentional when you see a brother or sister in Christ that is weak in the faith. Reach out to them. Pray for them. Let them know that they're welcome. Let them know that they're supported by you and by this church family. For those of you in this room who are immature in the faith, you don't have to be timid to grow in your faith. You can admit where you are and acknowledge other people. I'll tell you a story about a family member. A person who wasn't raised in church and was fearful of being in a Bible study, and their answer was, "Well, I don't know anything." She was fearful to be in the Bible study, afraid that someone was going to ask a question but that she wouldn't know. And here's what I'm going to say to you. We all have to start somewhere. You can't wait till you got all your knowledge before you get there. Listen, that's the purpose of small groups, is to help each other grow. So if you're here this morning and you're weak in your faith, you feel like you don't know a lot about the Word, listen, where you can begin is at your own home, by picking up the Word and spending time with Jesus and get in the Word and let God begin to grow you. For all of us, I want to present a challenge to us to make it a pattern to pray for this church, to pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. One of my constant prayers almost every day, Lord, protect my sheep from the temptations of the enemy, so they can be strong in the faith. Because Satan is good, is he not? He's good at what he does. And so if you're here this morning, and as a believer, God's placed something on your heart of what you need to do, do not say, "Well, I'll do that tomorrow." Do it today. If there's someone you need to reach, do it. If you're struggling in your faith today, then reach out to me, to Jared, or to Andrew, or to someone else, a Bible study leader that's here in this church, and ask for help. Throw out a lifeline. Say, "I'm drowning here." Listen, if you're coming here with a smile on your face and you're faking and you walk out and you're boohooing on your way home, you need somebody. And we'll put our arms around you and we'll pray with you and we'll walk that journey with you so that God can help you through that struggle. And all this that I've said, some of you may be here and you've not yet to trust Jesus as your Savior and your King. And I want to say this to you. Listen, the world may seem appealing, but I'm going to tell you what you need is Christ. Because the things in the world is not going to help you even with your struggles. Only God can. And if you've yet to place faith in Him, you come today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Word today to help us and to encourage us to build each other up. Lord, even as we've seen with the families that have come today with children and making this connection, to understand that you've called us as a church to help each other and build each other up. Just like that friend of mine hiking up the canyon, we all need sometimes other people to come alongside of us and to bear the burden to reach victory in our walk with Jesus. Father, I ask right now that if there are some in this room who are struggling in their relationship with you, people who have genuinely trusted Christ for their salvation but are struggling, God, let there be an acknowledgement of their struggle or of their sin. Lord, grant repentance so they can walk in victory with you. Father, I pray for believers in this room that even as I have delivered this word that you have impressed upon them of someone that they need to reach out to, call or visit or write, or maybe someone that they need to apologize to for not being gracious towards them. Lord, motivate your people by your model and your example that you thought of us before you thought of yourself and your comfort. Lord Jesus, I pray that if there are any in this room today who have yet to place faith in you, God, call them to salvation. Grant repentance to them and they place faith in you, Jesus. And Father, if there are other issues upon people's hearts this morning, that their hearts are heavy and they need to just come to the fountain of life, Lord, today, may you draw them to yourself. In Christ's name we pray. As we stand and as we sing, a time of response. You respond as God's placed upon your heart today. If it's a commitment you need to make even as you sit there, or if you need us to pray for you, you be obedient and you come.
Thank you for listening to this message by Byron Brown, Senior Pastor at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for these copies without permission. We invite you to visit our church website at www.fbclacombe.org. That's FBCLACOMBE.org. You can find information about our church there, or you can call our church office at 985-882-5682. Thank you for listening.